Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8 on Sunday evenings, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ in chronological order. Now, we're in the latter part of the second year of Christ's public ministry. And last week, we actually studied Luke chapter 13, a barren fig tree, and looked at all that, the idea of bearing fruit. But now, the next event is actually back in Luke chapter 8. This is also in Mark in chapter 4, as well as Matthew chapter 13, and you can read those accounts to be able to get a more full understanding of this parable that Jesus presents. And possibly one of the most familiar parables of all is the parable of the sower of the seed. And so that's what we're looking at this evening. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse 4, and we're going to read down to verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. What a blessing for what we've already received. Thank you for your presence in this place. I pray now, God, that you would just help us to focus on this passage of Scripture that we just read. Pray that we would have an open heart and mind, and I pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The parable of the sower. Verse 11. The Bible says the parable is this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So the idea here is the word of God being presented to humanity. That's what's important. That's what we get from this particular parable that Jesus presented to all that were there and then explained it to the disciples, so because they desired to understand it, and people that do not desire God will not ever understand the Word of God. And so there's a design for that as well, and how the Word of God is presented and has been preserved for us today. But the seed is the Word of God. And so as it's being sowed, what is the response of the people? The Bible says here in chapter 4 and verse 1, and when much people were gathered together. Much people. Mark's account, chapter 4, verse 1, it says it was a great multitude. So this is a multitude of people of all backgrounds. There would have been the disciples. There would have been believers. There would have been unbelievers. There would have been the religious crowd, scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees. There would have been a non-religious crowd. There would have been rich people. There would have been poor people. Can I tell you, it's just a hodgepodge of all walks of life is what he's presenting to us. Much people. Because everybody will either accept or reject the idea of God, and then the idea of having the very words of God to be able to read and to understand and to apply. The very words of the God that created all things. When you stop and think about that, that is just a powerful thought concerning the Bible that we have before us. God has preserved it. If man preserved it, there could be errors and misquotes and all kinds of things and their flaws. But if God preserved it, he can preserve it perfect. Amen. Just as he wanted to preserve it for all people to know the mind of a creator God and what his expectations are of humanity. So that's what we have. And so it's a very important parable, and it might even help you to understand some of the things that you're doing without being able to get all that God has for us to receive from the reading and the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. So we find here the first response that he gives when the Word of God is being presented. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow the seed, and he sowed some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Well, now he explains that. And what he explains here was for disciples to understand. People that did not want to understand, they wouldn't understand it. But now this is what the disciples were supposed to get from this. Verse 12, those by the wayside, are they individuals? It's talking about people. Are they that hear? One of the things you'll find in all four of these examples is they all hear. They come, the Bible says that the Bible is going to be preached around the world to all nations, and then the end. And so we know that everyone will have an opportunity at some point or other to hear. And they have had opportunities. And so we find here, in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, our adversary, and taketh away the word, which is a seed, out of their hearts. Because that's where the word of God needs to be placed. Not necessarily in the mind, although it does, but we need to take it from the mind to the heart. We need to take it from hearing it to living it, making it a part of us. So he says here again, the devil taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and place it in their heart. And the word of God in your heart, which is a part of who you are, is salvation. Because you believe it and you want it inside of you. That this first response after hearing, they didn't have it in their heart. Possibly this group, they don't want to believe it. For whatever reason, and they're deceived into thinking it's not true. As we preached on this morning, deception is going to get more and more powerful in the end days. People are not going to believe in God, in the Word of God. They're going to be deceived into not believing. But possibly, and they hear it and they just don't want to believe it. And so, because they don't want to believe it, they harden their heart. And when you harden your heart concerning the Word of God and you don't let it in, Satan will take it away. But you have to allow it. He can't come in and take something out of your heart that you want to stay. He can't come in and actually take something out of your mind that you want to stay. You choose what you keep on your mind, and you choose what you keep in your heart. You choose how you live and how you think, and if you want to keep it, praise the Lord, you can keep it. If you don't want it, you harden your heart from receiving it, the devil will always be there to take it away. Can I tell you, that's why the invitation is so important in a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. Because when the Word of God is presented, you have a decision to make. You can either receive it or you can reject it. If you receive it, then you will want to place it in your heart to live it out. You want to receive it and then decide, how can I now make this part of my life? How can I work this into how I live? And that's exactly what the Word of God is supposed to do. The Word of God is supposed to change you. The Word of God is to be a new nature. You've got to turn away from the old man and the old nature, and you have to turn to the new nature and the new man and the Spirit of God that now that dwells within you, because you wanted the truth inside of you and you did what you had to do to be saved. Then he's there. It's inside of you. Now, he's talking about those who are lost here, but can I tell you, even the saved, when you reject the seed, Satan will take it from you as well. The seed's the Word of God. Every time you hear the Word of God preached, every time you hear the Word of God taught, then you make a decision whether you're going to receive it or to reject it. And when you harden your heart because you don't want to hear it, the old devil will steal that seed. An invitation time usually is when you are battling this decision. When the Word of God has been presented and we've closed the message and we have you to stand and sing an invitational song, we are opening up to the entire congregation and whoever hears the Word of God being preached, and it gives you an opportunity to receive it and adjust your thinking to what the Word of God says and adjust your way of living to what the Word of God says, and you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you yield to the conviction and you want to make that decision, unless something happens to get you to harden your heart or to turn away from it because you're really looking for a way out, possibly, and Satan will steal it. And you'll leave just as lost as you were when you come in, or you'll leave without any spiritual understanding and growth as when you came in. A lot of services today, people come as they are and they leave as they were. They've never had any changes. The Word of God changes people. Yeah, it will if you receive it. Lest they should believe and be saved, the devil's taken that seed. And if he took the seed that was based on salvation, then that person is lost. And they will spend eternity in the devil's hell. Because you have to hear the Word to believe the Word and have faith in the Word to be saved. The second response, verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. He explains that in verse 13 when he says, they on the rock, they, and this is individuals, on the rock are they, which when they hear, there again, they hear the word, receive the word with joy. I love that. They receive the word with joy. That's how we need to do it. We need to receive it. But these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, this could be somebody that's saved, that's fallen away, backslid. It could also be somebody that never did truly believe, and they went back to the old way of life without conviction or without chastisement. That's how you tell whether or not you're saved. If you can go back to the way you lived before you got saved without chastisement, without conviction, then you never got saved. Not that you lost salvation. You can't lose something you can't do anything to earn. It's a gift. You didn't do anything to earn it, so you can't lose salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. But if you turn away from it, you never had it, because once you had it, you never want to be without it. Because you understand the reality of a place of heaven, and you understand the reality of a place of hell, and I know that they are real. But talked about moisture in verse 6 there. Well, over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, and let me just help you connect the two. In Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus teaching on marriage, but also on the church, and he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know how the church is cleansed and keeps sin out of the church? By the preaching of the word. You stop preaching the word, you stop presenting the truths of the Bible, listen to me, you're not fit to be the bride. We find here that as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, set it apart for his purpose, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. I love that. So if they don't have the word, they're not being sanctified, they're not growing, because there's no root. There's no root for the plant to continue to grow, the seed to continue to grow. If this person is saved, the Bible reveals that he's still a babe in Christ. Where as babies, you don't have much enjoyment in life. You cry when you get hungry, and you cry when you got to be changed, but you're dependent on somebody else to feed you and somebody else to change you. I don't know if that's much of a life. But the Bible says over in the 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, concerning this person that's not growing, are they saved? Well, they could be. Not saying they are, but if they are, they're going to be miserable because they're under chastisement and conviction. But the Bible presents this person in chapter 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 when he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, mature, growing, grounded believers, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. So there are some that are saved, but they are still in the infancy stage. Can you imagine a 40-year-old man still sitting in his mom's lap and taking a bottle? some, that's exactly how they need to view themselves in their Christian faith. Been saved for how long? And you're still not past the milk of the word? You're not growing in your faith? There's a problem there. Grow some roots. We find here, the Bible says in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, again, we find over here in verse 14, he says this, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward, because you're growing and you're producing fruit and you've got works and rewards in heaven. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, because it was none of it was based upon faith in God and serving Jesus. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Just barely making it into heaven. Now, praise the Lord, you made it into heaven. But is that how you really want to make it into heaven? No. As a 40-year-old still sucking on a bottle, that'll encourage everybody to say, I don't want to be that 40-year-old that's still dependent on a bottle. Or how we need to be grounded. The Bible says concerning that again over in the book of Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You've been saved and it's changed your thinking. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, to present the word of God. And when you receive the word of God and you get saved, you want more of the word of God. And the more of the word of God that you have, the more you grow in your spiritual life. And the more you're growing in your spiritual life, the more we are serving and producing fruit, which brings to us rewards. We meet with our Savior face to face. So that's the second response. Yeah, just no root, not grounded, because they're not applying the Word of God. Well, the third response, go back there with me to our text. The third response, everybody follow me tonight? You're all there? Praise the Lord. Maybe you can look at our own lives and say, you know, there have been times in my life that that's exactly what happened to me. And that's why we have the Word of God, to help us. Luke chapter 8, verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And the thorn sprang up with it. It's growing. That's life. It's actually producing some roots. It's growing up. Thorn sprung up, and with it, choked it. He explains that, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns, are they, which when they have heard, go forth, wanting to apply it, living the Christian life, but are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, because they're being choked, bring no fruit to perfection or to maturity. Third response, I believe this would be someone that's saved, who continues to live by sight and not by faith, looking to the temporal instead of that which is eternal. They don't find the joy in the midst of trials. They don't find the joy, and they're not able to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, because you're focused more on the trial than you are on why God's allowing you to go through the trial. Because the Christian faith is all about being strengthened and growing our faith. And if you're going to grow your faith, you're going to have to go through some trials of life. And if we stay faithful to God and keep our eyes focused on the Lord in the midst of the trials, you'll come out of that trial on the other side stronger and with more faith, greater faith, than you had before you went into that trial. If you stay focused on Christ instead of circumstances, and you walk by sight instead of by faith. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and I am dealing with this and I'm dealing with that, I'm just struggling here and struggling with this, and the outward man is just perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. I know if, as long as I got the Lord to look to and pray when there's no reservations found for me. Even in the midst of that, he's able to open a door. For our light affliction, which but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And those trials that we're going through, if we stay focused on God and his presence, will strengthen us. Amen. Word of God will not return void. Too many focus on the thorns. The thorns are the cares of this world. We all have cares. One of the things that I'm always trying to help people to do is do all you can with whatever you're facing. But once you've done all you can, you can't continue to beat yourself up. You can't continue to try to do more than what you're able to do. But once you've done all, you got to turn it over to God and move on to something else. Even if it's just temporal, you got to stop and move on to something else. If this takes up my time 24/7, listen to me, I'm not going to grow. I've got to be able to do all that I can and understand that, but then turn it over to God and realize that God can handle it better than I can handle it. And once I've turned it over to God, look for something else. Amen. Help somebody else. Find joy somewhere else. In the ministry, if I wasn't able to do that, there's no way I could be a pastor of this church. Once I hear, I want to make sure, I pray, and I want to make sure I can do everything I can possibly do to help every one of you, whoever goes through the trial, whatever's happening. But at some point, I've got to be able to turn that over to God and say, God, when there's something else I can do, let me know. When there's something else I can do, help me to know about it and see that. But God, now I've turned it over to you. I must turn someone else. And not everyone has trials. Can I tell you, there's times when I get to go rejoice with people because they're rejoicing. As I have marital counseling, premarital counseling with young people that are excited about getting married. They don't know what they're in for, but they're excited about it at that time. And when they're excited about it at that time, I can rejoice with them because they're happy. The rapture didn't take place, at least not now, until after they got married and experienced married life. Maybe even experience having children. And when you have children, can I tell you, that's a rejoicing. That's a time of joy. Praise the Lord for it. There's joy in your life if you look for it. Yeah. If you stay focused on things you can't control, you're never going to find the joy that's going to help make you through it, get you through it. And you're going to get choked. You're going to get choked by the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, the pleasures of the flesh, which none of those things are going to produce fruit. And then we have the last response, which if you've responded to certain times of your life to each one of these, you're not alone. You're not alone. But this is the way that we need to focus on responding. Luke chapter 8, verse 7. And some fell, let's go to verse 8. And others fell on good ground. My heart's open to it. And sprang up. I'm applying it. It's growing. I'm maturing. And bear fruit 100-fold. Not just a little fruit, 100-fold. He explains that, verse 15, as we close. But that on the good ground are they, I trust it's everyone here tonight, which in an honest and good heart, here in church on Sunday night, most people that are going to take full advantage of all day on Sunday have an honest and pure heart, looking forward to hearing the word, having heard the word. Keep it. I want to hear it so I know what to keep. I want God to speak to me so I know what I need to change. That's the kind of heart. Knowing the Word of God is powerful. Amen. The Word of God changes things. And as you keep it, you apply it, it bringeth forth fruit with patience. Good ground. A heart willing and ready to yield, to open up and receive the seed. If that's you, you'll go out because you've allowed the seed to stick. It is in your mind, but it's also in your heart. And now it's coming out in the way you live your life. You'll bring forth fruit. You will bring forth fruit. And that's what God wants from all of us. Are we producing fruit? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Whether you're producing fruit or not will be determined by what you're doing with the word. What are you doing with the word? Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this parable, the sower, and the seed, and how it's received and applied by so many. Help us, Lord, to want to receive it and apply it as you would have us to. Bless now this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.